Thank you for listening to the Presbyterian Church of the Roses worship service program this morning. We are so thankful you have decided to join us today. We are the Church of the Roses at 2500 Patio Court in Santa Rosa. We are the church that has the program that feeds the Montgomery High School students a free breakfast every morning when high school is in session. We support the Boys and Girls Club across the street on Hammond Drive. And we also sponsor a lot of different programs such as the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, the Council on Aging, a spiritual direction program. We have hearing aid support groups and many other activities that you can join us and become involved. We believe that the Church of the Roses is here to reach out with nurturing love to the whole community of Santa Rosa and beyond. So we hope that you will feel comfortable and welcome, not only listening to this service today, but also coming in person to our worship services on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So God bless you, and we hope you enjoy this day. So our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Listen now for the word of God. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days. And when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." And then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. Now, Jesus is around the age of 30 years old here. So where in the Bible is recorded his 30th birthday party? Don't you wonder? In our Monday Bible study that we've been doing, we talk about the things that are left out of the Bible or the things that they include and how they make those decisions. So I just wondered if anyone else wonders why the Bible doesn't report on Jesus's other birthday parties and tells us only about his first one at his birth. Does it seem strange that for someone who had such a miraculous birth, the Bible does not share any more information about other celebrations of his birth in later years? Does anybody wonder about that? Well, it isn't really that strange because, for example, my sponsored daughter from Ethiopia came over to the United States in the 1990s, and she couldn't tell us for sure when her birthday was because they never celebrated birthdays in her culture. So they kind of made up the date that was on her passport. They did celebrate certain milestones, though, in a child's life, like baptism in the Ethiopian Orthodox Church that she attended there. But they did not celebrate birthdays, and neither did Jesus' family. Instead of celebrating his 30th birthday, we learn that he has been baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist with a glorious Holy Spirit moment where a heavenly voice proclaims, you are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. And from this glorious event, the Holy Spirit leads Jesus straight into the wilderness and into the hands of the devil. For 40 days, he was alone and he came out famished. Now you think your life has its ups and downs. Think about Jesus's life. He was born with angels singing and kings giving gifts. And then the Holy Family becomes a refugee family right away. It's like, how shocking. They had to flee to Egypt for safety. And King Herod and Putin seem to be made up of the same DNA, both causing a huge refugee crisis with mass murder. But back to the wilderness. Christ's 40 days sound harrowing, don't they? But the verse that follows the passage that I read today, Luke 4:14, says, then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and report about him spread through all the surrounding country. So that time does have a happy ending. Despite being led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, he was still filled with the power of the Spirit when he came out of the wilderness. Thus, the Holy Spirit was with him throughout his days of testing in the wilderness. No wonder he was able to pass all of the tests the devil put him through. He had that Holy Spirit advantage. Now, Professor Ruth Ann Reese from Asbury Theological Seminary describes the dialogue between the devil and Jesus as two competing storylines. The devil offers a storyline of self-indulgence, like when he said, make yourself bread from the stones. And the devil promotes self-aggrandizement when he told Jesus, all the nations of the world will belong to you if you worship me. And he challenged Jesus with self-serving religious identity. If you are the Son of God, then cast yourself from the top of the temple, he tempted. And meanwhile, Jesus responds with quotations drawn from the Old Testament, that show awareness of the true source of his life and identity. He knows that life is more than food. He defends himself with his loyalty to God, the one worthy of true worship and service. And he proves he understands the character of who God is, not one to be tested. Jesus' responses are rooted in a narrative that he is dependent on God rather than self for life, glory, and identity. And so should we all be. If we identify God as the one who should receive the glory for our gifts and talents and successes in life, then we don't feel social pressure to please others. We just focus our efforts on pleasing God. And that is why Jesus was so successful in his ministry for just 3 years. He didn't let the way of the world alter his work. He kept giving hope and healing and loving the outcasts while forgiving those who were practicing the evil ways in the world. Now we are entering the Lenten season at a time when the world feels like a wilderness right now, and not a happy, beautiful, natural wilderness. There is hope that the pandemic is becoming endemic, but COVID-19 is still in our environment, still infecting people. Political disunity is causing our government to stall in many places, affecting our recovery from the past 3 years. And now the war in Ukraine is making life feel less peaceful for us all. So what do we do in this wilderness time? First, trust that you will come out of it eventually. The Holy Spirit is with us now too, in this wilderness, and we have the power of the Spirit helping us find a way out. God has a habit of delivering people from oppression, and Jesus came to advocate for the oppressed and to liberate the downtrodden. You will see that light at the end of the tunnel if you look up. The stars at night are still shining brightly. And secondly, don't flee the pain. Sarah Polley, who started a career in acting at the age of 4, was interviewed on NPR last week about her new book she titled Run Towards the Danger. After she was struggling with the long-term effects of a severe concussion, her doctor told her to run towards the danger. And that sounds like a strange prescription from a doctor, doesn't it? But she took it as a call to move forward towards anything that was causing discomfort that she had been avoiding. Instead of running away, she was to find ways to make things better, to fight off the fear, and to trust that she could make a difference, and you can make a difference, even if it is small. Now, last Ash Wednesday evening, I read a poem by Meg McCracken that Sue Bowden had shared as the devotion for our fellowship committee meeting. And it encourages feeling the pain of what is happening in the world. Meg McCracken encourages us to face it and not to run away from it. And then to imagine how we can weave healing into the brokenness. She titled the poem, Don't Turn Away. And I won't reread the whole poem because it is long, but the last few stanzas say, feel the fear, the disgust and despair. Feel the fabric of humanity rip. Let it bring you to your knees, to the fullness of your senses, even to the dark impulse that wants to separate you from the wellspring of your love. Then lay your head down in the soft of your pillow. Give thanks for that simple, soft pillow and hand all of it over to your dream keeper, who we would think of as God. Pray for her to take it in, to make it whole, to spin every last fiber into a thread of wisdom that will wake you up in the morning, that will greet your reflection in the mirror with love. A thread of wisdom that will make your tea and pet the dog, that will bring you to your meditation cushion, where you can invite the devastated into your heart, the Ukrainians, the Russians, and all of the others, the children, the mothers, the fathers, the brothers, the oppressors and the oppressed, here to the fullness of your breast. May they feel the touch of your simple kindness in the midst of this mess. One stitch at a time, we will mend the fabric. One gesture of gentleness when your child rebels. One moment of listening when you don't agree. One look of welcoming to the man on the corner as you offer a little something so that he may eat today and remember how he too is a treasure of life. One word of easy praise to the barista. One softening when the tensions of ideas pull tight. One breath of patience that can become a moment of prayer when you are running late and the traffic stands still. Each and every one of us and all of us together, holding the complexities of truth, the courage of our hearts, the threads of our wisdom, and each moment we are given, we sew, we stitch, we weave, we patch, we darn, we mend, we pray, we love, and we live the fabric of humanity into the great tapestry of life itself. With your simple thread of life, what kind of world will you be weaving today? So with the devil, during his 40-day journey in the wilderness, I think Jesus was going deep into the physical and mental suffering that humanity suffers. And he did this on purpose so he could relate to us and to all that we go through in life. He was experiencing the ways the evil in the world can tempt us to feel sorry for ourselves, can tempt us to isolate away from the pain in the world. Evil tempts us to strive for power and control rather than rely on God's grace and mercy. Evil in the world shakes our faith. But like Jesus, we can be steadfast in our trust in God and pray that the Holy Spirit will work out healing in the end some way. We are not to succumb to the temptation to just bomb out Russia like we might be tempted to do. We must remember they are God's beloved creation too. So let yourself be brokenhearted for the children, for the innocents, and even for the Russian soldiers, who I'm sure many don't want to be there and are having to invade or else face execution or a long life in a Siberian prison. My friend Mikhail here in Santa Rosa has friends and family in both the Ukraine and Russia. They are one family spread across two nations. So please pray for all of them. During this Lenten season, Jesus calls us to turn our hearts to him. And that's what we are to analyze in these 14 days and how we can see in our lives new ways that we can turn our hearts to be more like Jesus. We are to think about the way in the wilderness it prepared him for his ministry of love and forgiveness and healing and wholeness. So return to Christ with your whole hearts. Don't just give a small percentage. Focus your energy on loving your neighbors and doing what you can to heal your community and the world. Amen.
you for listening to the Presbyterian Church of the Roses radio program this morning. We encourage you to go to our website at www.churchoftheroses.org and donate. We'd love to have your help keeping our roses blooming and all of our outreach programs growing. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.